This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net.
Who survives when an internet access brain implant pits spouse against spouse, brother against sister, and governments against their people? Honor the past, embrace the present, and seize the future with R.R. Campbell's Mourning Dove, the second installment in his epic empathy sci-fi saga. Now available from 9 Star Press. For more, visit empathyseries.com. Say to write what you know, but writing from experience can prove to be a challenge. So how do we rise to that challenge and write about topics and experiences we know so personally? Well, this episode's guest has written an entire novel based on his experiences as a former fire captain, and our conversation is full of advice for writers interested in writing fiction about their own triumphs, trials, and tribulations. Hey there, I'm author, writing coach, and RightsCast Network founder R.R. Campbell. And welcome to episode 66 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network. Our guest today is award-winning author Gregory Lee Rentz, a former fire captain whose novel Beneath the Flames was released earlier this year to great acclaim. It was a thrill to interview Greg as a writer I've known personally for a number of years through our local writing community, and I'm excited to share our chat with you. A quick note before we get started, though, this conversation does explore and make mention of suicide, PTSD, and lives lost to fire. All right, let's get into my interview of Gregory Lee Rentz, author of Beneath the Flames. Stay tuned after our conversation for updates on what you can expect next from the RightsCast Network. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much, Gregory Lee Rentz, for joining me for this episode of the R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network.
Oh, well, I've been looking forward to this. Speak a number of times, and it's going to be my pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to jumping right in on this. We're talking, of course, about writing from experience. And so for people to really be able to frame what it is we're talking about today, we might as well start with the experience that you wrote from for your novel Beneath the Flames. So what is that? What is that experience?
Okay, so I was a firefighter in Milwaukee for 28 years and worked quite a bit in the inner city and all around the city, but you know, I had a lot of experiences, to say the least. So with those experiences that I had, along with some really colorful characters I worked with and a unique setting, I think there's not too many people who would know what it's like to live in the inner city of Milwaukee. So that's part of one of the settings of the novel. So with those three things together, I thought I had a lot of material to draw on. So when I retired 11 years ago, I thought, maybe I'd like to write a novel. You know, how hard could it really be?
Right. Yeah, that's always where it starts, isn't it?
That's where it started. So, yeah, I'd thought about doing, memoir because, with all the experiences I had over the years, but I found that I really, really loved creating. And in memoir, you're really putting down on paper what already happened. And I much preferred the process of creating scenes and creating people and all the things that go into that. I just found that so inspiring. So that's why I got drawn away from actually doing a memoir. Maybe that'll come later, but right now I really enjoy writing fiction.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you kind of made the decision to jump into writing fiction after you had retired, but I'm curious to know, did you ever think at any point in time while you were working for the fire department that you might one day write a fictionalized account of some of those experiences?
I really didn't, no. I mean, you hear after a really, a really traumatic fire or a really good save or whatever, you always hear people, firefighters say the same thing that, oh man, someday I should write a book about this. And we kind of kid around about it, but you hear that over and over again. But then what the next remark is that, but would anybody believe any of this? And I think that's the challenge of fiction is because you have to make it believable. And sometimes these true events would not even be believable. So I didn't really think about writing. And when I've asked about that question about where that came from, I started thinking back, and it's interesting because I remember back when, I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. We lived across from an apple orchard, and I loved watching these the Twilight Zone and these late night horror shows and stuff. So we would collect over in this apple orchard, a bunch of the neighborhood kids, and I would tell stories. I'd make up stories, and as I got better at it, we started attracting more and more kids, and I really loved doing that, and actually made tape recordings with my old tape recorder, and the kids would pass it around, and I thought, okay, maybe that storytelling really does go back quite a ways. And but I went away from it because as you get older, you start thinking about girls and cars and stuff, so storytelling falls by the wayside. And then the other thing that really struck me, just these things come back into your mind when you start thinking about these things. I think it was about a junior English class. And the English teacher would always read my stories and my pieces aloud to the class. And I was mortified because I thought, oh my gosh, these must really suck because she's using these to show show bad writing and how, that everybody else got it. I thought, oh man, she's not going to read another one. Well, late in that class, or towards the end of the school year, she came and told me, she said, you know, the reason I've been reading those things is because you're a phenomenal storyteller, and I hope you pursue writing. And I don't know why I flashed back on that, but I thought, you know what? 40 years later, I did. So maybe that was the seed that, who knows? Who knows what affects somebody?
Yeah, it's really interesting to look back over the course of one's life and realize that there were perhaps some of these really critical moments that proved to be rather formative, particularly when it comes to something going full circle, as it did with you and storytelling. You know, there was this seed that was planted, and then 40 years later, you turned around and there'd been a tree kind of growing behind you this whole time, it seems. And I wonder, when you noticed, let's put it this way, when you noticed that tree was standing there and that it was time to write this novel, how did you get started?
Okay, I would say I really got struck by the idea of writing. I was I was involved in a rescue of two little boys from a burning basement. It was a miraculous rescue, something that it's an amazing story. But after a rescue like that, they like to give you these awards. So I had to speak at these award ceremonies and tell the story of this rescue of these two little boys. And it's quite a story. And as I'm telling the story the very first time, I think in front of a couple hundred people at the award ceremony, and there were media people there, as I'm telling the story, I'm noticing tears drop coming down out of people's eyes. And I thought, holy cow, this story is really powerful and it's really moving people. And I think that was where I was first struck by the power of storytelling, how you could really connect and move people with that. And that's where I think the first seed was, well, not the first seed because that goes way back, but when I really started thinking that, man, if I could learn how to do this on a page, how powerful would that be to be able to reach out to, many, many more people than just this room full of people. And so, I spoke at a number of other award ceremonies and, again, got that same response. So that's really where I think I started seriously thinking about writing. And so when I retired and actually thought I'd start writing the novel and found out this is not the easiest thing in the world, I was at least smart enough to know that I needed to learn something about the craft. And that would have been around 10 years ago when I started taking courses through continuing studies at the University of Wisconsin here. I think Angela Rydell was my first instructor there. And some of the pieces I got back, she pointed out that I needed a lot of work to do, but in such an encouraging way that she didn't frustrate me to the point where I wanted to quit, because I realized I needed to work on grammar, punctuation, syntax, point of view was all over the place. But every instructor always said, but these stories are amazing, please keep writing. So that, that encouragement along with knowing how much work I had to put into it kept me going. But that was the start of it. And I think just hearing that the stories resonated with people, especially the writing instructors, they thought, I think I can craft a pretty good novel if I can get this this craft down, which I'm still working at, by the way.
It's a never-ending journey, isn't it? It's one of those things that, you know, we think we've got it all figured out until we actually have to write a new draft of something, and then suddenly there we are, you know, hoping for that grade school teacher praise, but then someone like Angela Rydell comes to set us straight, right?
Exactly. So true.
And I'm curious, but it sounds like when you really got to writing your novel, you were writing a lot from these personal experiences. You know, these were the stories that you were choosing to share as you started this journey with University of Wisconsin Continuing Studies. But I'm also wondering, have you tried writing fiction outside of your personal experiences? And if so, was that easier or harder than writing from things you had personally experienced?
I think it's much harder, because you're really, then you're in that total creative field where everything is coming just hopefully from outside and it's inspiring you. So I think everything I've written has really come from experiences either through the fire service or personal experiences that I've had, you know, throughout my life. And, you know, I think for me writing, you know, from my firefighting experiences, and the farm experiences, because this also takes place, the setting alternates between rural Wisconsin and inner city Milwaukee. So I used to go up to my grandma's farm every summer. You know, she had a dairy farm, and then our son-in-law worked on a dairy farm. So I had a lot of that going into that. So all of it's based on, you know, things I experienced or people sharing stories of what they experienced. And for me, especially the firefighting scenes and the fires that I write about, those really came pretty easy because I could just picture those in my head. I know what a fire smells like. I know what it feels like. I know the feeling of the searing on the back of your neck when the fire gets too hot. I know the emotions that go into it, and you know how sometimes you're scared to death crawling into some of these fires, but you don't let that stop you from doing what you have to do. So that, I think what I'm hearing too from, especially from retired firefighters who've read the book, is that I pretty much nailed those, but it wasn't that hard because they're telling me, man, you put me right back into the firehouse and those fire scenes. I was right in the middle of that fire with you again. So, and I knew they'd be my greatest critics. If if I messed something up, these guys would not hold back. They would let you know.
Was it ever difficult to revisit those more challenging moments? I mean, you were writing from experience, but as you suggest, I mean, there is often a lot of, you know, you really have to hunker down and overcome a great deal of fear and let adrenaline, I'm sure, kind of take control. So was it ever hard to revisit some of that and draw on some of those more intense experiences you had as a fire captain?
Well, I think, you know, when, you know, I think I've read close to 90 books on the craft of fiction, and one thing that really struck me was Donald Moss talking about write the things that are the hardest to write, that force you out of your comfort zone. So there are scenes in this book, quite a number of scenes, in fact, as I'm writing it, tears are rolling down my face as I'm writing them. Challenging, yeah, but I knew I had to do it. And when I got the scenes on paper and they were polished and I sent them out to beta readers, when they told me back saying something like, "Damn it, Greg, you made me cry again," I thought, okay, yes, that's what I needed to hear. So I've never shied away from the difficult aspects of it, and certainly there are plenty of difficult aspects, because one of the minor themes in this book is PTSD, not only among first responders, but the kids growing up in the inner city of Milwaukee who are right in the middle of all that violence all the time. And so writing about the PTSD experiences, and you know, looking back on my career, and I think over my career we lost seven firefighters to suicide over that period of time, just horribly tragic situations. Those things had to be addressed in the book because that's part of the job, and something that actually coming back now with people, firefighters that are coming up and saying, you know what, so glad I read your book. I've been keeping some things inside that I probably need to get out and talk about. And by reading your book, I realized I need to do what your protagonist did and address those issues instead of trying to keep them buried. And I've heard that over and over and over again at my talks. I'm going, whoa, man, if that isn't, if that isn't validation for why this story demanded to be told, I don't know what is. And the validation especially is nice because I turned down a couple of New York agents that wanted to sign me, but wanted to change the story drastically and remove some of the emotional aspects of it. And they wanted a more commercial adventure type novel. And I turned down a couple of contracts because I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't go along with their vision.
And it seems like you did the right thing because, as you say, there are so many folks who have worked for fire departments that have come forward to really thank you for the presentations that you have included in Beneath the Flames. So there's been a lot of really great utility, not only in finding an enjoyment in these stories, but in helping readers find themselves confronting things that perhaps they didn't know they needed to confront. And along those lines, not just with firefighters, I'm curious, do you have advice that you can offer writers who might want to start writing about something they have some personal experience with, but they're just unsure where to start? What can they do to get started addressing that for themselves?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is you need help from outside. I mean, when I first started writing about my experiences, had I not, sought, the help of continuing studies and directing me on how I could best do that, because there's no way this book would have been written had I not gotten all that help through, continuing studies. So I really think you need to find a mentor, a coach, somebody that you can really trust and work with them as far as addressing these things, because sometimes, is something going to be over the top melodramatic and people are going to go, oh yeah, right. But there again, Donald Moss says, push it to those extremes, push those scenes beyond what people might even believe, and then pull back on them just a little bit. And I that I thought was great advice, because I would push these scenes to some really horrific endings and then go, okay, I need to pull back on that a little bit because that's just a little too much. But he said most writers go the other direction. They try to make things too nice. They're afraid to push it. They're afraid to really tear into their protagonist and beat him up and throw stuff at him. That's almost impossible. So the reader feels compassion toward the protagonist and kind of pulls back. So to get started, I think you need to learn a lot of that before you can really get serious about getting it on the page. So I think you'd have to work with somebody and go through some writing assignments and just working through the craft and putting those emotions, especially the really strong emotions, on the page, because it is very difficult. There's no doubt about it. One of the things that I've not been able to do is I had a younger brother commit suicide a couple weeks before his 18th birthday. And on a number of occasions, I've tried to write about that, and I still can't. I just cannot. That's just too painful to get on the page. So, and maybe someday, but I think you have to know what you can do and what you can't do also.
Yeah, and it's really nice to be able to hear you speak so frankly about some of these topics, because I know that I personally, as a writer, have a great number of things from my own personal experience that I have actively avoided tackling in my own writing, and I have instead focused on these broader speculative works, etc., because kind of in the same way that, you have found it difficult to perhaps write about your brother, I lost my father to suicide in 2016. I've actually never spoken about this before publicly, that's something that I circle back to a lot. And I know that there is a novel in me one day that's going to be about, that personal experience to some extent. And I have tried to think about what that's going to look like, what shape that is going to take. And that's a really difficult thing to kind of grasp. But it sounds like when you are writing about your experiences as a firefighter, the people around you that you might have lost through this vocation that you followed, I'm sure that there were certainly struggles in doing that as well. What was it that you used to sort of push through when it came time to try to overcome the struggles that might come with writing about something that you've had such intimate experience with?
I think what that boiled down to was, more than anything, is not giving up. And in the fire service, that's something you train on, and we never give up. I mean, we might change tactics, which I changed tactics many times on this book, because something wasn't working, but you never, ever, ever give up. You don't walk away from a fire. You don't walk away from a, you know, a traumatic car accident and go, that's too hard. We can't do that. So the way I look at it, and I think by keeping things in perspective like that, is that, you know, even writing a book, well, in perspective on saving children in a fire, signing with a New York agent and selling a couple hundred thousand books compare with saving two children in a burning home? I don't think so. So I've been to the top of the hill there, and is there anything worse than blaming yourself for losing people in a fire? And that's where the PTSD comes in, and I think all military, police, and fire will understand this aspect of it, and I'm hearing that over and over again when firefighters are sharing some of their stories. And I'll just share a couple quick ones with you. One firefighter was telling me that he was also an investigator, that he'd been on the scene of over 90 fire fatalities during his career. And he was also involved in a house fire with 14 casualties. So as they're crawling into this burning building, they're coming across one body after another. And when the fire's out, they see these bodies lined up out in the lawn with bright yellow plastic sheets on them. But how do you get that vision out of your head? So the thing about that is, well, just one more quick one was, a firefighter said he crawled into a bedroom. It was pitch black, and found a lady in the bedroom lying on the floor, and he picked her up and felt under her. Here she was draped over a child, trying to protect the child from the fire. Now, the problem that comes in with this from the fire service is that in a situation like this, the logical side of your brain knows there's nothing you could have done to save that mother and child. But then there's that emotional side of your brain that'll beat you up. What should have, could have, would have. And thing is, you know that you couldn't have, but it's like a battle going on. And you will blame yourself. You'll heap guilt on yourself, even though it isn't founded. So you find that over and over and over again. And so, you know, just, I kind of went on off the subject there, but I thought I had to talk about these things because that's really part of when you realize that people are dealing with these things. I mean, the best way to deal with it still, and I'm not an expert on it, but is not to bury it, but to get it out in the open. And I look at that as the same in my writing. If I'm writing about a really emotional scene, I'm not going to back off from it, no matter how much it's tearing me up inside. I know I have to do it. And when I've killed off characters in the book, now my wife's like my editor, and she sees the pages first. And when I tell her I'm going to kill off a favorite character, no, you can't do that. But deep inside, I know I have to for the story. So yeah, that's, I think that's kind of how I go about writing the more difficult things.
Well, and I think that there is some really great truth in there, even if, you know, you feel as though you meandered from the question. I really don't think you did, because ultimately my takeaway in hearing you speak there was very much a, if we have faced something difficult, like some of what you've described, if we've faced that in real life, facing it on the page will perhaps pale in comparison, because we've seen the deep, dark thing. We've had that personal dark night of the soul, and now we're kind of in a position to make of that what we will. You know, it might be something that we've been carrying with us, or perhaps something that has, you know, lurked in the background and we didn't even know it was there, but perhaps knowing that we faced it once and it can be faced again, and this time we can face it on our own terms, as opposed to finding ourselves in situations that, you know, we didn't ask to be put in. Now we have some control, and that's what is really coming through there from you, at least for me anyway.
Right, and I love that control, because now I can make the world work the way I want it to in fiction. So, yeah, you know, you're kind of the god here, so you can do what you want. Yeah, you know, as long as you make it interesting, don't bore the heck out of the reader. but I would say, you know, one quote that stuck with me many, many years ago, and I don't remember where I heard it, but it's so profound, and it's simple, and it's all about getting started and doing something, because so many people don't. I mean, I know, oh gosh, how many writers I've been in workshops with who get started, stop, and then they, you know, it is, it's very challenging. but they have great stories in them. I mean, in the workshops and conferences I've been to, and you hear the stories, you go, oh my gosh, that's a phenomenal idea. And then it kind of, a couple of years later, so how's the story going? Oh yeah, I didn't, it's like, oh my gosh. So anyway, this quote here just resonates with me. It says, don't die with your music in you.
That's incredible. That's really great. It really reminds me of, there's this moment at the end of season one of the show Westworld, where one of the main characters is talking about this idea of legacy, and what it is that people leave behind when they go. And he lists a number of famous composers. He talks about Bach and Beethoven and Chopin. And he says that they never truly died. They simply became music. And the quote that you've shared just really, that really gets me every time. I mean, when you're in the moment watching that show, and that one chokes me up, because that's really, that's the opportunity that we have here. You know, we have seen, a dark side of nature, perhaps of the world as it exists, but we have this opportunity to kind of release that and turn it into something that can help others. And we don't want to die with music in us. We want to become that music. We want to become our words. We want to become the stories that are meant to be passed on to future generations. So a lot of really powerful stuff there. And I think that I want to really finish this conversation by celebrating that and by looking toward the future. You know, we've touched on some difficult topics here, and I think that they're really important, but why don't we look positively here toward the future too, and just ask, you know, what's next for you, Greg? What's next for Greg Rentz?
Well, I think after 10 years of creative writing courses, workshops, conferences, and getting into this, I can't stop at one book.
Right, you never can.
Because people have said, "Yeah, you're just going to write one, or you're going to no, I'm going to keep writing. I love writing. I guess and I love writing character-driven stories, because I was asked early on in one of my courses, what do you want to write? Do you want to write suspense, thrillers? I said, no, I want to write character-driven novels that connect people with people on a deep emotional level, but have, you know, a plot that moves along nicely. And so I was, and just the validation of that came a couple weeks ago, where this lady came up and had read the book, and she said, you know, I it's hard for me to get through books, but your book I was able to get through, and I loved it. She said, that's the first book I read where I went to bed praying for your characters, because they were so real.
Wow.
I thought, oh my gosh, yes, there it is. That's why I write the type of things I write. So that I'll continue to write things like that, and it may be fire department centered, or I might go back to like around 1970 in Madison during the anti-war protests, because I was there and I was a biker at the time, and I've got some interesting material to draw on for that. So not quite sure which direction I'm going to go. I'll probably write both stories. It's just a matter of which I write next.
Sounds like you've got some really fertile ground to explore there. And of course, you've already explored some really great ground with Beneath the Flames. So congratulations, Greg, on all your success. And thank you for joining me for this episode of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And so concludes my interview of author Gregory Lee Rentz. For more from Greg, you can visit glrentz.com. That's glrenz.com. Thanks to Greg for joining me, and thanks to you, dear listeners, for tuning in. I'd also like to thank the RightsCast Network's patrons for their financial support of our programming, which comes in the form of per-episode or per-month contributions at patreon.com/rightscast. The RightsCast Network family of patrons get some wonderful rewards in exchange for their support, including early ad-free access to every episode of our programming, discounts on my editing services, and RightsCast Network swag. And new to the family of perks is that RightsCast Network patrons are now entered into monthly raffles for critiques of their first 5 pages from me or Novel Approaches co-host C.O. Nashleman. Sound like something you'd be into? The amazing Laura Hazen certainly is, and I owe her an additional tip of the cap for her support at $3 per episode. So whether you can chip in $1, $2, or $3 per episode or per month, start contributing to the programming you value today by visiting patreon.com/rightscast. That's patreon.com/rightscast. Coming up next on the RightsCast Network is an interview of author Jess Witkins, who will describe what it's like to and provide strategies for publishing across multiple forms of media. A
Until that episode debuts on October 4th, 2019, however, you can find the RightsCast Network online at rightscast.net or as RightsCast on Twitter. And I'm at rrcampbellrights.com or I am rrcampbell on Twitter. You can, of course, always email us at rightscast@gmail.com as well. It's always great to hear from listeners, so please don't hesitate to reach out. That's all for now. Until next time, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on and write well.
This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net.